In John chapter 14, precious passage of scripture says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." And I believe that's going to happen. No question about it. That is our hope. That is a blessing. And it is going to happen someday.
Own sorrow will be over, every teardrop wiped away. So when it hurts so bad you can hardly stand, just remember it'll all be over someday. In a little church on a Sunday night, after everyone had gone, Grandpa sits on the very first row, crying all alone. You see, the woman he loved for so many years had died and gone away. But a still small voice whispered in his ear, "You'll see her again someday." There's a tiny grave where a mother weeps, thinking of her little boy. He was everything, all the world to her, her laughter and her joy. But she suddenly smiles when she thinks about him running up and down the golden way. And she says to herself as she turns to leave, "I'll see him again someday." And someday all heartache will be gone. Someday he'll come to claim his own. Sorrow will be over, every teardrop wiped away. So when it hurts so bad you can hardly stand, just remember it'll all be over someday. For everyone who walks alone in hopelessness and strife, Jesus is the Lamb of God, the way, the truth, the life. He has gone to prepare a place for those who trust him and obey. And he promised that he would come again to get all his children someday. And someday all heartache will be gone. Someday he'll come to claim his own. Sorrow will be over, every teardrop wiped away. So when it hurts so bad you can hardly stand, just remember it'll all be over someday. It'll all be over someday.
I'll tell you, it's a blessing too. One of these days, been thinking about the book of the Revelation and looking into some things there, and I believe Jesus coming is soon, and we're going to watch him cast into hell for all eternity. That's going to be a wonderful thing. And, you know, there is a lot of sorrow. There's a lot of pain. And yet with a Christian, boy, God gives such wonderful peace. I want to talk to you tonight from Nehemiah chapter 4 again. And it's hard to get away from some of these passages. I hit different things in the passages. And as you go verse by verse, you kind of go verse by verse, and then you go word by word. And I want to deal with a word in Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 8. Verse 7, again, it says, "But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem." We talked about that last week. But then I want to preach today on "and to hinder it." You'll notice that at the end of verse 8 there, "and to hinder it. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there's much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. And our adversary said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease. And it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times, from all places when she shall return unto us, they will be upon you." And I want to talk to you about that word "hinderers." He says in verse 8, "and to hinder it." And from the Bible, I want to show you some hinderers, all right? And I think it'll be a help to us tonight if we'll listen carefully. Father, I pray you bless the preaching. And I ask you, Lord, to help us to listen carefully to the Word of God. And then I pray we'll listen to your Holy Spirit. Help us not to be hinderers, Lord. Help us to be encouragers and those that try to help people to grow and to be what they ought to be for you. And I pray you'll speak to our hearts and help us to have the victory, to build the walls, to do the work that you call us to do. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Hinder is a military term. It's an interesting word. It's a military term, which I think we all kind of have an idea what it means. But literally, the idea would be to blow up a bridge and to keep somebody from, keep the enemy, for example, from coming across and to slow them down, to maybe damage a road, to blow up a road or something, and so that maybe a caravan of some type would have to go around and it would slow them down or even stop them from carrying out the work that they're trying to do. Now, in verse 8, it's very clear, and again, we talked about Jerusalem last week, and we have been on this passage a while, but notice the word in verse 8, "and conspired all of them together to come and to fight and to hinder." And so, in my mind, I see a conspiracy here. And, of course, Brother Harnden, he gives me all the information about all the conspiracies that are going on all over the world and keeps me informed of all that and everything. And then he's on the watch list and I'm not. And so, anyway, there are certainly many conspiracies going on. But I don't know if there's any conspiracy any more so than the conspiracy of Satan and his crowd that is trying to hinder us, trying to hinder you, trying to slow you down, trying to stop you. And so they conspired, they formed a conspiracy to try to slow down or stop the building of these walls, which was absolutely crucial. And it was, let me remind you, God's will. It was God's will that the walls be built. We've already covered that. We've talked about that very, very clearly. God had led Nehemiah to go and led the people to build those walls of Jerusalem. And so I want to show you three hinderers tonight, but I have two other points to add to that. But there are three hinderers that try to stop the work. Three hinderers that try to stop the church. Three hinderers that try to stop you from doing what God wants you to do. And I've made these points as to what is said. And the first one, and you'll understand that here in a minute. The first one says this: you shall not. The first hinderer to Christian work, to Nehemiah's work here, to building the walls, the first hinderer says, "You shall not." Clearly, that's the enemy. No doubt about it. It's very clear in the book of Nehemiah, these people are the enemy. Notice verse 7, it says, "Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabians, the Ammonites, the Ashdodites," there they are, they're named very, very clearly. We've seen them before. We talked about them all the way back in chapter 3, and we talked about them, I believe, in chapter 2, and it's very, very clear. We talked about them mocking, making fun of the Jews. No doubt about it, they are the enemy. Verse 11, and our, notice the word here, our adversaries. Adversary is one who is adverse to us, and they're enemies. They're the bad guys. Our adversary said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease. These enemies made it very clear, you shall not build the walls. Now they're the enemy. They're the enemy, no question about it. Notice 1 Corinthians 16, verse 9. Keep your place in Nehemiah. Go to your New Testament and look at 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 9. 1 Corinthians 16, 9, for a great door and effectual is opened unto me. Notice what he says, and there are many adversaries. There it is again. There's a lot of enemies. Okay, great door and effectual. By the way, it's open to you. It's open to everybody in this room. There's a great door and effectual. God has something for you to do. God has a plan for your life. God has his will for you to carry out. It's a great door. It is open to you. But guess what? There's going to be some adversaries trying to stop you. I mean, you're a new convert maybe, or you've been saved just a short while, and God's speaking to your heart, and you're growing. And guess what? There's a great door open. I mean, you could grow. The sky's the limit. I mean, God can use you in a great work. But there's adversaries. They're after you. They're going to be after you. Maybe you're about to graduate from high school. Well, the door's open to you. I mean, the door is open to you. There's great things. Maybe you just graduated from college. Door's open to you. A great door, the Bible says. Great opportunity. But there's adversaries. And they're out there. And they're after us. They're after each and every one of us. And maybe you're a Christian, you're saved, you love the Lord, you have your job, and God seems to be blessing you. Hey, there's a great door open for you. You know, I praise the Lord each week. You know, Michigan's not doing too hot. I'm telling you, it's tough in Michigan. Jobs are tough. All you have to do is drive up and down our streets here in Adrian, Michigan. Houses are for sale on every block. It's tough. But you know, I beg God, I plead with God to keep your jobs, and you keep your jobs, and your businesses do well. Hey, have you ever thought about, instead of griping about your business, that you beg God that it does well? Because if it doesn't do well, then they close, and then you're out of a job. But it's a great door open. It's a great door and effectual, a time to trust God, a time to exercise faith. But understand, there's adversaries. And they're saying to you, and they're saying to me, you shall not. I cannot imagine a greater door open to Berean Baptist Church than what we have right now. I mean, God's just so good. We have such a great opportunity. And the door is open. But understand, there are those that would say to us, you shall not. You shall not. There are those who want to proclaim, you can't run buses. You can't knock on doors and tell people about Jesus. You can't pass out tracts. And there are people in legislature, there are people all around that will do all they can to try to stop that from taking place. The enemy will always rear their ugly head and say, you shall not do that. Always going to be there. What are they trying to do? They're trying to hinder us. They're out to slow us down. They're out to stop us. It's just like in Nehemiah here. They made the threats. They when the threats didn't work, you know, we'll kill you. We'll come at night. They kept giving the threats, but then they made fun of them, thought that'd work. You know, well, they made fun of them, said, you can't build a wall. It'll fall down. There's nothing you can do. They made fun of them. They ridiculed them. And they trying to cause them to be afraid. And each time they were doing something to try to hinder, clearly, they're the enemy, saying you shall not. Look at 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 18. Again, back to the New Testament. Keep your place in Nehemiah. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 18. Clearly, the Bible describes the enemy here. Wherefore, we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again. But notice what he says. But Satan hindered us. Now, I want you to just keep that in mind, because later on, something else hinders Paul from going somewhere he wanted to go. But Paul wanted to go to see the Thessalonians, and he said Satan hindered him. Satan blew up a bridge. Satan tore up a road. Satan put some obstacle in the way. Satan hindered Paul from doing something that Paul believed he ought to do. Satan's always going to try to stop you. He's always going to try to slow you down. Anything he can do to get you to stumble, to trip, to fall, to stop, to quit, to give up, anything he can do, he's going to try to do it to hinder you. You see, the hinderers that are our enemy, they say, you shall not. Like Pharaoh said to Moses. He said, you know, let my people go, said Moses, representing God. And Pharaoh said, I'll not do it. You're not going anywhere, buddy. You're not going to do it. You are not going to do it. It's not going to happen. Now, you know, again, you know the battle. Thank God Moses took his stand and represented God right. Amen. I mean, you know, just because an enemy gets in your face and says, well, you can't do that. You won't do that. I won't allow that. You know what? If God says to do it, you've got to go ahead and do it. And forget what the enemy says. That's exactly what Moses did. He kept saying, you know what? Let my people go. And he hung in there and he kept going. By the way, that's what leaders do. And we'll talk about that here later on. But Pharaoh, you know, you shall not do this. Well, Pharaoh, how's it feel drowning in the Red Sea? You know, I mean, Pharaoh, you found out that God's people just need to keep going and trust their God. It's like the men who set Daniel up. They said, Daniel, you're not going to pray. Ha, 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 you can't pray. And Daniel said, I'm going to pray like I always prayed. And the law was made, and the men were behind that terrible, wicked law. And the law was made that no one could pray. But what Daniel do? The Bible says just he did what he did aforetime. He kept praying. And he prayed. And he was thrown in the lion's den. And I'm sure that group, those enemy, they laughed and said, see, you won't pray. In the lion's den he prayed. And the lions didn't eat him. Are you listening? I'm just saying, somebody has to lead. Somebody has to say, I'm going to go ahead and do it anyway. I don't care what the enemy says. Somebody's going to have to say, they can laugh, they can mock, they can call me names, they can threaten me, they can try to make me afraid, but bless God, I'm going to go ahead and do what God told me to do. There's college students all over this place. You know, well, I don't know if I can, I may not go back, you know, or I'm not going to go, or whatever the excuse, and coming up with all these things. Do you understand? The enemy is trying to hinder you. The enemy is trying to put fear in your mind. You know, the enemy is all around us, folks. The ACLU is trying to wipe out. If they could wipe out our church, they'd wipe us out. But guess what? They can't. I mean, they're trying to stop our bus ministry. They're trying to stop soul winning. Trying to stop handing out gospel tracts. I mean, all kinds of laws are trying to be made to stop us. But guess what? They can say all they want, you shall not. But if God says you shall, then we shall. I'm concerned about the election, obviously, as every Christian should be as far as the presidential election. I'm not real excited about all the choices. I'll be honest with you. But I chose God a long time ago. And the truth of the matter is, when we elected a Christian president that believed just like we believed, we said, he didn't do so hot either. Several of them didn't do so hot. Hello? The point is, God always does real well. And I'm just saying that we need to vote right, we need to ask God how to vote, and we need to do our duty and vote and those things. But ultimately, we just keep going. Because the enemy is always, doesn't matter what face the enemy has, he's going to say, you shall not. You're not going to do this. Over and over in the Bible, there are examples of that. We've seen it with communism. You know, told Christians in communistic land, you won't be able to worship here. But they are. They are. Oh, some have given their lives, but they still are. Are you listening? The enemy, the obvious adversary, will always say, you shall not. Look at Luke 11, 52. Again, keep your place in Nehemiah. Luke 11, 52. Here's some hinderers. Woe unto you lawyers. Now, John, that's not necessarily talking about you, but woe unto you lawyers, for ye have taken away the key of knowledge. Ye entered not in yourselves, and them that were entering in, ye hindered. These are unsaved scribes. These are unsaved people that had nothing to do with Christ. They wanted nothing to do with salvation. And notice what it says here. It says, ye entered not in yourselves, and them that were entering in, ye hindered. You've taken away the key of knowledge. Oh, listen. They took away the knowledge of salvation, how to be saved. Did everything they could. to stop it. Again, as I said, they don't want us going soul winning. They don't want us passing out tracts. There are people out there that don't want us telling people about Jesus. They don't want us on the street preaching. They don't want any of that to go on. They're trying to hinder people from being saved. And certainly there's the hindering with false doctrine. And they are, he says clearly here, they're lost themselves. Why would you hinder others from being saved? They themselves are lost. But now understand, these adversaries, this enemy that is out to hinder us, understand this. Back in Nehemiah and chapter 4, verse 6, so built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together under the half thereof. Notice what it says, for the people had a mind to work. And I'm going to tell you, that mind to work always overcomes this threat of you shall not. They had a mind to work, and as long as they kept that mind to work, all the threats, we're going to sneak in and get you. We're going to catch you off guard. We're going to break down your wall. We're going to come around and infiltrate another way. And at night, we'll sneak in and we'll cut your throats. And you know what? As long as they had a mind to work, they didn't have to worry about that. And you know, the more you work, the less you worry. Amen. I mean, the more you work, somebody says, you know, I go to bed at night and I'm not tired. Try working all day. You'd be amazed how tired you can be. Amen. Amen. You know what? We're always going to have enemies. There will always be adversaries telling us you can't do it. There will always be enemy. There's people, you go to work and you work in a secular place, and there's people there, you say, boy, we had a great day in church, and they laugh and they mock, and you know what, I was out, and they'll tell you, you know, I was drunk all weekend and I had a better time than you did, and you go through all that kind of stuff, and they'll say, you know what, you won't do this, and you're not going to stick with it, and you're going to get out of it. You know what, you just keep having the mind to work and keep growing in the Lord and reading your Bible and praying and coming to church, and you let God do the work in you. I can do all things, the Bible says, all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And if God says do, then you do it. Real quick, Acts 5, verse 28. Keep your place there in Nehemiah. Acts 5 and verse 28. Here's the whole attitude toward the enemy who says, you shall not. Acts chapter 5, verse 28. I love this passage of Scripture. For time, I can't read all of it, but I'll tell you this much. They put these men of God in prison, and God let them out. Amen? And he let them out miraculously, no question about it, and let them out. Well, now, you know, they don't know exactly what to do, and it amazes me how powerful they still think they are. Are you listening to me? I mean, it amazes me how powerful they still think. We can still tell them they can't do this, even though they put them in jail and God let them out. And the jailkeeper didn't even know they were out. Oh, I love this. Notice what they said. Verse 27, when they had brought them, they set them before the council. Again, who in the world does the council think they are? They couldn't keep them in jail. And the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? That's how I think he sounds. I don't know if that's how he sounds, but I think that's how he sounds. And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. And indeed, to bring this man's blood upon us, talking about Jesus, did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? Talking about Jesus. I like Peter. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. You say, where do you suppose Peter got that? Look at verse 20. Right after the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. Go ahead and do it. They didn't say, well, you know, they told us we're not allowed to do that. They put us in jail. God just let them out of jail. I think God proved that they didn't have to worry about going back to jail. You know, as long as God can get you out of it, you don't really have to worry about what the world puts you in. Amen. I mean, as long as God's going to get you out of it, as long as you're doing what God said. By the way, I'd much rather trust God, who told me to do something, who told me in His Word to do it, who told me clearly this is my will for you to do. I'd much rather trust Him than a man anyway. Well, yeah, I'm going to do it. I'm definitely going to do it. Why? Because God told me to. I think it's interesting that they even had the audacity to bring them before Him again. They should have hidden. They should have run. Amen. Anyway, you shall not. The enemy, the adversary, they will always, always come and tell us what we can and what we can't do. And here's the thing. Whatever God says, that's what we do. Oh, I love it. I love it. Second thing, number two, second words and the second hinderer, ye ought not. Okay, the first group, they say you shall not. Now we have ye ought not. Now let me just submit this to you. This group's more dangerous than the first group. You'll see why in a minute. These are found in verse 12. It came to pass when the Jews which dwelt by them came. Notice these are Jews which were neighbors to Jerusalem. These are Jews that are relatives to all the people inside Jerusalem. These are Jews who are relatives to folks who came from outside Jerusalem and helped building the walls. These are Jews who dwelt by them. These Jews came. Notice what it says. They said unto us 10 times, from all places when she shall return unto us, they will be upon you. In other words, ye ought not, because they're going to get you. Again, this group, these Jews who live nearby. By the way, these Jews are not Jews who helped. They just live nearby. They're not involved in the work. They just live nearby. They're not involved in building the walls. They just live nearby. They're not involved in building anything. They just live nearby. They take out their binoculars and they watch and say, oh, they're all going to die. They take out their binoculars and watch and say, oh, that's not very cool. They take out, and from a long distance, they watch and say, hey, you're all going to die. You ought not do that. You're going to make Sanballat mad. You're going to get Tobiah upset. You're going to get Geshem really bent out of shape. Ye ought not do that. Notice, these were relatives and friends of those who were building the walls. I like the way the Bible's so honest. They came 10 times. that means they came a lot of times. You shouldn't be doing this. You're going to die. This is not a good idea. I mean, these walls are, look how big this is. It's just too dangerous for you. I wish I had a dollar for every person who told a missionary candidate it's too dangerous. I wish I had a dollar for every time that a observer told a young person that it's too hard. Again, these aren't the enemy. They're friends and relatives who over and over and over again, they said things like, it's too dangerous, you'll die, you can't succeed. I submit to you, these are more dangerous than the first group because we expect more out of them. We really expect more out of them. These are friends and relatives. You know what they ought to be doing? They ought to be helping build the wall. And if they're not going to help build the wall, they ought to be at least encouraging those that are building the wall. But instead, they're telling them it's too dangerous. Now look, this group, they're not trying to hurt you. Stay with me now. They're trying to hurt the work. You say, well, then that's, and that's why it's a dangerous group. Because if it's God's will to do the work, and you don't do the work, then it hurts you. Because it keeps you from doing God's will. Did you catch that? This group, these friends and neighbors, they would never, they'd say, hey, we're trying to protect them. We're trying to protect them. We don't want them to die. And if they keep on this wall, they're going to die. And we're trying to, wait a minute though. In their trying to protect those that they care about, they are stopping them from doing the will of God in their lives. And I'm going to tell you something. I would be terrified to hinder somebody from doing the will of God. I would be scared to death in trying to hinder somebody who's on fire for God, who says, give me a trowel, give me a block, let me build a wall, let me clear out some rubbish, and some little weenie come along and say, it's too dangerous, you need to go back. You're going to die. You're going to suffer. You can't make any money doing that. What about a career? Let me show you some things. Keep your place here in Nehemiah. Acts chapter 8, verse 36. Acts chapter 8, verse 36. This point's one of those that if you have your shoes off, you might keep them off for a few minutes. I'm not going to tell you what we found in here the other day. People are getting too comfortable. Acts chapter 8, verse 36. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? He's just mentioning something that, you know, what could hinder me? Well, if this man that just got saved were around today, there'd be a whole lot of folks hindering him from being baptized. I mean, there'd be a whole lot of people. And he asks a good question. What doth hinder me? He just got saved, just trusted Christ as his Savior. He's fired up, says, I want to build a wall. What doth hinder me? Well, there was nothing to hinder him because there weren't any friends and relatives around. There weren't any carnal Christians around either. What hinders people? Well, how about somebody say, well, that's not cool. That's not cool getting baptized. Your hair's going to get wet. That's not cool. Why would anybody hinder somebody from obeying God and getting baptized? Well, you're too young. Really? Too young, huh? Well, was the person too young to get saved? Are they too young? You know what amazes me is parents will take a child and they'll put them in some stupid swimming class. But then we want to baptize. Oh, no, they're too young. No wonder I'm bald. Somebody said, well, I want to get baptized. Well, you don't know enough. Pastor, I believe we ought to have classes for those candidates wanting to be baptized. We already have a class. Really? Yeah, and to pass, you get saved. And once you get saved, you get baptized. That's what they did in the Bible. That's what we're going to do. Well, these other ideas are just hindering people. I've watched people. I think back to when down in Shreveport, Louisiana, and Randy Barmore got saved. He was a tough guy. His whole family got saved, and he was a drunk, and he hadn't got saved. And finally, he got saved, and the night came for him to get baptized. I preached that Sunday night on courage. I remember clearly preaching about that. Said, you know, called people weenies and wimps and sissies and everything else. And so it was time to baptize him at the end of the service. And he came forward, and the fella said, Pastor, he said, baptistry's not working. The water's freezing. Of course, in the South, freezing is a relevant term. But anyway, it was, I mean, in the North, we break ice to baptize, amen. But the guy that led him to the Lord, I can still see his face. We all got together, and I looked at him. He says, he just had a big smile. He said, go ahead and baptize him. He won't know till he gets in. Now, I'm going to tell you, that guy had the right idea. Because, you know, anything could happen. I've watched it happen when people weenie on getting baptized and somebody talks them out of it and says, next week it'd be better, and then next week, or maybe when you know more, maybe when you quit this or quit that. None of those are reasons. They're hindrances from doing what God said to do. And I put that guy in the tank. I'll never forget. He walked in there, and I'm in there in the waiters, and I'm shaking. I mean, it was cool, and I'm like this. And he came in, and he didn't. He tried to act like nothing was wrong, but as he stepped in, of course, his feet were bare, you know. And he walks in, and as he starts going down, I could tell the look on his face. It was a look of panic, and I just looked at him and said, "Courage," because I just preached on it, and that was no accident, by the way. And he stood there, and I said, this is Randy Barmore. And Randy, have you trusted Christ as your Savior? And he says, ooh. I mean, really, it was cold. I said, it'll be real quick. I held him a little extra just to make sure it took. But, you know, that was the best thing in the world. Now, that guy's a deacon in that church today. That guy serves God. He's a soul winner, teaches Sunday school. He's on fire for God. And it could have been where he was hindered that night and never followed the Lord. Do you know, no one does anything till they get baptized. Have you ever watched? You say, well, I'm trying to get my convert to be faithful. Get your convert underwater. Underwater. That's when they will start being faithful, because that's the first step of obedience. Instead, we hinder them. Well, I wouldn't want your hair to be wet today. It's Mother's Day. I wouldn't want anything like that to happen. Oh, you know, we come up with all these things. Don't hinder people from obeying God. 1 Corinthians 9:12. Look at it. Keep your place in Nehemiah. You say, how often are you going to say that? I'm not telling you. Then you'll know how many points we have. You might get discouraged. It is encouraging to know we're on the back page. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 12. It says this, if others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Who in the world would hinder the gospel of Christ? Calvinism does. Calvinism, well, if they're going to get saved, they'll get saved anyway, whether we tell them or not. That is such a foolish thinking. Or what else hinders the gospel? People say it doesn't work. I'm going to tell you, it always works. It always works. Somebody prays and asks Jesus into their heart, that always works. Well, preacher, I'm talking about going door-to-door soul winning. That, you know, that's just kind of old-fashioned. But it works. Whether it works or not, it's obeying God. Amen. I mean, you know, and then there's always the pious person that says, well, where are all of them? I talked to Jesus. He healed 10 lepers and only one came back. But all of them were healed. Hello? I mean, you question whether they were all healed? God said they were all healed. I just don't think they meant it. I'm not sure if you mean it today. I don't know, because honestly, why would we hinder people giving out the gospel? Why would we make fun of soul winners? Why would we make fun of folks that tell people about Jesus? Why wouldn't we be behind that, be excited, and do it ourselves? Amen. 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 Boy, the laws of the land are trying to hinder getting out the gospel. Oh, I'll tell you what. You know, you go in the mall and hand out tracts and talk to people. Pretty soon, there's a little person comes along and says, you're not allowed to do that. Really? I'm shopping here. I'm allowed to do whatever I want when I'm shopping, as long as I'm not disturbing anybody. Hello? I'm shopping. I'm spending my money. What are you talking? You want me to spend my money? Huh? Well, you're not supposed to bother people. I'm not bothering anybody. I'm just giving a gospel tract. I'll tell you, you're bothering me. Let me shop. You know, now you say, preacher, we heard you say this morning you don't shop. I'm shopping for souls. There's a difference between shopping for souls and shopping for soap. Amen? I don't know where that came from. S and S, I guess. S-O. Anyway, but look, listen. Don't hinder people. Don't be one of those. Now, these were their friends and relatives. These aren't, they're not trying to hurt them. They're trying to hurt the work. Well, if you go soul winning, people won't like you. People get saved, they'll love you. Amen. Look at this one. Galatians 5. Keep your place, please, in Nehemiah. Galatians 5 and verse 7. You say, we going back to Nehemiah? Well, we're keeping our place there. I don't want you to lose it. Some of you took the first point just to find it. And we've been doing this now for over a month. Galatians 5, 7. Oh, this is that verse that, boy, this one bothers me. Yeah. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? Now, here's somebody that did run well. They were on fire. They were excited. They were ready to go. But somebody hindered them from obeying the truth. Who? Paul says. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? Now, again, that's all Nehemiah and his people are doing is simply obeying the truth. That's all they're doing. Who did hinder you from not obeying the truth? It's like when a young person says God's called them to full-time Christian service and somebody steps in and says, oh, what about a career? What about making money?
you just blew up their bridge. Yeah. I'm going to tell you, that is one of the scariest things in the world. It really is. Oh, but you have so much potential in another field. I'm going to tell you something. I have never told somebody that it's God's will for you to do this. I listen to them, and when they tell me this is God's will, and I believe God has led me to do this, I get excited about it, especially when it's something positive. I cannot even imagine that we would stop somebody who did run well. I can't imagine that we would ever hinder someone who did run well. Somebody who wants to obey. Somebody who wants to tithe. And the hinderers will show up. Well, how are you going to make your payments? How are you going to live? Oh, yeah. These are the friends and relatives. These are the people, they themselves maybe aren't tithing. But they start to hinder you as you get excited. These hinderers will say things like, well, don't be so radical. Missions conference is coming. Don't make some rash decision. Those missionaries, pastors, the speakers, they just get you emotionally involved. So you give. You know, like you did when you took them to the store and went shopping. Here's a sale. And they say God spoke to my heart about giving, and you shoot them down because they're emotional. Somebody help me out with this. You know, a child says, I want to start giving $1 a week to missions. And a parent says, huh, what about some of the things that you want? What about you having rocks in your head? It amazes me. Don't be so radical. Well, you go to church on Sunday morning. Why would you go Sunday night? See, I went through all this with my family, and they loved me. They weren't against me. But, you know, can't you serve God just a little slower? No. Don't be so radical in separation. I remember when I got my hair cut, all the friends and relatives that made fun of me. What are you doing? Are you crazy? You don't have to do that to serve God. Actually, I did have to do that to serve God. I did. There's no question about it. Well, you could have gone somewhere else. Yeah, I could have gone to some cult somewhere and been a hippie and joined Jim Jones and died with Kool-Aid. There's a lot of things I could have done. I'm glad I did what I did. And if I hadn't got it cut, God would have got rid of it anyway. Friends and relatives, they'll make fun of you. They don't hate you. They just hate the work you're trying to do. Sometimes it makes them feel guilty. I know a lot of kids, they walk out of the room when mom and dad are watching some wicked thing on TV. And, you know, pretty soon a parent will make some snide little remark, you think you're so good. Just walk on, kid. Don't argue. Just walk on. I would think a parent would be thrilled. I'd think they'd be overwhelmed with delight, joy, and happiness that their child would take a stand for what's right. Whether they agree or not doesn't matter. At least they're moving forward. Hey, Dad, can I smoke a joint with you? Son, I'm proud of you. Let's drink a beer together. You know, it's amazing how proud they would be over that. But a child stands up and says, hey, I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to go to church. Hey, can I have some money to go to camp? Hey, can I go serve God? I want to do something for the Lord. And immediately the hinders come out and say, well, are you sure that's the way it should be? Or are you just being emotional? We'll have ladies try to be modest and some idiot makes fun of them. I shouldn't use words like that, should I? I ought to use maybe the Greek, idios. Make fun of somebody trying to be modest. Be encouraged by them. Okay, so you're not modest. At least encourage them. They're saying, God put this in my heart. I want to obey God. Lady wants to look like a woman, and pretty soon the vultures are after her. They circle. You know what I'm talking about. I can't even believe it. I would think you'd say, all right, well, I don't agree with you, but at least understand. At least they're saying, you know, I'm trying to move forward here. Why not be excited about that? Why would anyone hinder someone from trying to do right? But see, they're the friends and the relatives. Don't build the wall. You got to stop. You're going to die. I'll tell you what, I'd rather die doing the will of God than live out of the will of God ever. Somebody made a decision to read their Bible through, and Christians give them a hard time because you stopped at Leviticus. Some young people try to have dating standards and they get made fun of by adults. I don't see anything wrong with that. Pastor's just a little bit nutty. Okay, fine. Maybe he is. But I'll tell you what, I promise you this. If we would all practice it's good for a man not to touch a woman until they get married, I promise you, we'll never have to deal with an abortion. Never have to deal with any kind of venereal diseases, abortion, AIDS. We won't have to deal with any of that stuff. Are you listening? Well, I don't see anything wrong. Yeah, but see, they do. And they're trying to take a stand. Encourage them. Don't shoot them down. Say, preacher, I'm starting to realize we're only on point two. I understand that. I know, but that really is the longest point. So get excited. I just, you know, there will always be the ye ought notters. They're always going to be floating around. They got their binoculars because they serve from a distance. And they're watching, you know. And they're worried about you. They're afraid you're going to get yourself in trouble serving God. You might go to some mission field. Oh, perish the thought. You might become a pastor and never eat another meal. Perish the thought. You might become a Christian school teacher. Look at them. They're Mabel? They're becoming a Christian school teacher. They're going to die. Well, I thought he had so much potential. I thought he could have been a very, very good doctor. He's going to be a missionary. What a waste. That's what happens. Now, I'm going to tell you, if God called him to be a doctor, he needs to be a doctor. But if God called him to be a missionary, he needs to be a missionary. Amen. Ye ought notters. Oh, yeah, they're more dangerous than the enemy. Really. God's more important. Number three. We said there's two groups. You shall not. Second group, ye ought not. Number three is we cannot. And that's self. That just comes from within. Notice verse 10. Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish so that we are not able to build the wall. We cannot. We cannot. Now look, if God says build, you can. If God says do it, you can do it. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Now watch this rubbish here that they're talking about. That's the rubbish from the captivity. That's the old walls that were tore down and destroyed during the captivity. And that rubbish is the result of their sin. We produce that rubbish in our lives. Amen. And that rubbish is tough to clear out. I'll be honest with you, it is real hard to clear out. And some of it's just going to always be a hindrance to us. I've got rubbish in my life that was there as a teenager. It still hinders me some. Well, there's always going to be rubbish. But you know what? That's why I preach so hard about all to these young people. Do right when you're young so you have less rubbish when you're trying to build the walls. Do right when you're young so you have less rubbish as you get older and you can do more for God and you don't have to worry about that rubbish getting in the way. 10 spies said we can't. 2 spies said we can. They didn't. And therefore they didn't go in. And they suffered for it. Why didn't they? Well, the Bible says because they didn't believe God. That's why they didn't enter into the promised land. Weary, weak, exhausted, just keep going. Keep going, because that is a hindrance. The words, we cannot, do not hinder yourself, because you can. You can. Oh, boy, I'll tell you, I've had a hard life. I just finished my freshman year of college. And you can go on and do your sophomore year, and you can go on and do your junior year, and you can go on and finish your senior year. Amen. I used to think college was so hard. There have been times my wife and I have talked about, and I remember when we were in college, we said, oh, it'll be so good when we get out and get into work, and we can take a little break. We talk sometimes and laugh about how it'd be so nice to go back to college and just take it easy for a while. It's true. But you know what? You don't say we cannot. No Christian should say I can't. Because I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Those are the three negative hinders. But let me just show you two other points, and they're real short. Because they also deal with hindering. First of all, is number four is we must. And that's the leader here. Nehemiah says, we must. Okay, I know the enemy says you shall not, and the friends and relatives say you ought not, and the people themselves were saying we cannot, but Nehemiah said we must. And that's a leader. Because a true leader will remember the cause. See, a true leader like David. David proved himself as a true leader. He remembered the cause. Is there not a cause? And all the soldiers around him are saying, well, we can't fight Goliath because we'll lose. David didn't care about how big Goliath was and how little he was. All he cared about was, hey, there's a cause here. I got something to do. Somebody's got to, and I'm going to. And the leader remembers the Lord and reminds others about the Lord and how the Lord is all powerful and how the Lord can give them the victory. And Nehemiah clearly stands out as a leader who says, I don't care when they say you shall not. I don't care when they say that you ought not. I don't care when you say you cannot, because you can and you will and we will. And we're going to get the job done. And we need leaders today. We need leaders desperately today. Desperately. Who will say we must? And then the last point, number five, are these words, it's not my will. Because the truth of the matter is, sometimes God hinders. You say, God? Oh yeah, but it's not a negative thing, it's a positive thing. Sometimes God hinders. Let me just show you real quick, because we're just dealing with that word, Romans 1 and verse 13. You can leave the book of Nehemiah now. You say, we never went back to it anyway. Yeah, but I kept you alert. Romans 1 and verse 13. The Bible says, now I would not have you ignorant, brethren. By the way, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, either. Amen. That oft times I purposed to come unto you, but was led hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. Paul said, I really want to come to you, Roman Christians. He's, you know, God had set up a wonderful church in Rome. And those people were winning souls, and lives were being changed. Paul said, I wanted to come and preach to you. I wanted to come and teach you. And he said, I don't want you to think it's not because I don't want to be here, but I haven't been allowed to come. He said, I couldn't come to Rome. Look at Romans 15, 22. Romans 15, 22. For which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you. Paul said, I want to come to Rome. This isn't like when he wanted to go to Thessalonica and Satan hindered him. This is totally different. Because in the work that he was doing in reaching the Gentiles he was reaching, it just wasn't possible for him to go to Rome. But more important than that, it wasn't God's will. Listen to me now, and I'm done on this point. Paul said over and over, I believe this with all my heart. Oh God, let me go to Rome. Please let me go to Rome. God, I want to go to Rome. I want to have some fruit among those dear people. Those Christians are suffering. Those Christians are serving you, God. They're such good people. Please, God, let me go to Rome. I want to go to Rome. That happened another time. I'll come back to this. Acts 16, verse 7. Acts chapter 16, verse 7. And I just show you this. You know this story. And I want to show you where I'm going with this. Acts chapter 16 and verse 7. After they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. In other words, they wanted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit, the Bible says, didn't allow them to. Sometimes God hinders. He stops us from doing something that is not His will. And I thank God for that. You say, have you been disappointed before with it? I have been very disappointed sometimes. I really have. I've said, God, this obviously is Your will, only to have the door slammed shut and say, I guess it wasn't so obvious, was it? By the way, when the door shuts, that's obvious. That really is obvious. I mean, sometimes God does it. God sometimes says, that's not my will. Watch me now. Paul begged God to let him go to Rome. He had it all plotted out. Well, when I go to Spain, I'll come visit you then. I got that all figured out, but it didn't work out. Well, you know, when I'm over here, I'll come to Rome, and I'll visit you then. I'll preach to you, and I'll have some fruit among you Roman Christians, and I'm looking forward to it, and that didn't work out. Paul did go to Rome. He did. As a prisoner. And he died. Again, I'm not... Was that God's will, preacher? Yeah, of course it was. It was God's will. But he did get to go to Rome when it was time for him to go to Rome. Now, you can look at it one way or the other. You know, well, he went to Rome and he died. And if he would have gone to Rome before, he would have died, I suppose, if he'd have tried to open a door that God closed. I would encourage you not to do that with God. But most of all, I really wanted you to get the idea. Look, don't hinder people. I don't think anybody in here is the enemy of anyone else here. But I think there's some folks, you know, that somebody gets on fire for God and we'll slow them down because maybe they make us look bad. I don't know what it is. Don't be a hinderer. And don't let hinderers stop you from doing what God told you to do. Never, 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 never. You be the Nehemiah where you stand up and say, okay, we must do this. Let's bow our heads, please.